That's all I have. So let's go to the book of Jude this morning, if we could. Jude, right before Revelation. And of course, stay after for fellowship and a cup of tea together next door. I knew there was one more thing. Next Sunday, on Mother's Day, we are going to start a witnessing class every afternoon at 4:30. All right, so 4:30 here at the church. We're going to have a witnessing class. It'll take about 6 weeks, and it'll be simple, just learning an outline, memorizing some scriptures, so that you are prepared to witness and share the gospel with the lost. It won't be complicated, but just to give you an outline to lean on, and maybe you've had this before, but it never hurts to have that refresher. So that'll be on Sunday afternoons at 4:30 for about 6 weeks, starting next Sunday. Plan on that witnessing class here at the church. And let's go to Jude chapter 1 and verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So I've entitled the message, Your Most Holy Faith. Your most holy faith. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us now and use your word in our hearts. Make it an exciting time in your house. And Lord, we want to please you and pray you would use your word to refine us and to speak to us and change us, whatever needs to happen. Maybe there are those that are hurting and we would pray you would encourage them. But Lord, whatever the need, we pray you would do that through your powerful word this morning. And we pray again that our Savior Jesus Christ would be magnified in this time together. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. So God refers to our faith as our most holy faith. That's really a beautiful statement when you think about it. That the faith that we placed in Jesus Christ becomes our faith, it becomes our life. And when God talks about our faith, that's what he means. He means our salvation, but also our walk. All that we are, all that we become in Jesus Christ after we become a Christian is our faith. And God refers to it as our most holy faith. And in this passage, I believe he shows us some of the things that are needed to keep that faith what it needs to be as we are walking on this path between our salvation and our journey to heaven. God wants our faith to be a powerful faith, a faith that makes a difference. He wants it to be that most holy faith. And if that's going to be the case, it's up to us to practice and institute some things in our faith to keep us on that path. And the first one is obvious there in verse 20. He says, praying in the Holy Ghost. You cannot have a most holy faith if you don't have a prayer life. It's impossible. God designed us for fellowship, not only with each other, but with him. And he wants us to spend time with him every day, all day, as much as we can set aside for private time, but also, as the Bible says, to pray without ceasing. He wants us to be in communication with him all the day long so that he can guide us and so that we can slowly become more like him. That's just the way it works. The people we spend the most time with, we eventually begin to take on some of their traits. And so if we spend more time with God, I think we're going to start taking on some of his traits, which is a good thing. But God wants us in our most holy faith to be praying in the Holy Ghost. Understand, an unsaved person can't do this. They don't have the Holy Ghost. But we do. He has indwelled us. And he is there to help us as we pray. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, and we'll be reminded of that this morning. That the Holy Ghost wants us to pray, but he will not force us to pray. But as we do pray, He takes our prayers and, if you will, makes them acceptable to a holy and righteous God. Notice Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're sinners. We're weak. We're often wrong. We make mistakes. And even in our prayer life, often we don't pray the way we should. We don't pray for the things we should. But God wants us to pray. And it should be comforting for us to know that as we're praying in the Holy Ghost helps us. Helps us not only in how we need to pray, but takes our prayers and brings them up in an intercessory way to the Heavenly Father. That's a blessing. But we're the ones that have to avail ourselves of the privilege of prayer. We're the ones that need to spend that time with God so that we will have that most holy faith. And God wants that from each of us, that we would have that effective, powerful, consistent prayer life and time with the Lord. If you would look at Ephesians chapter 6, where the Bible tells us how often we're to pray. Verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. I love this verse because it says so much about who we're to pray for and how often we're to pray. Notice it says, praying always. Okay, we got that settled. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's a pretty big group. We got a lot of people to pray for. And then we need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for our leaders, which we're told in other passages. We have a lot to pray for, let alone our own specific needs, which we're usually pretty quick to pray for. God wants us to be praying for our brothers and our sisters and the lost and our country and our leaders and our world, and that He would send forth laborers into His harvest, and we could go on and on, but He wants us to spend time with Him, praying in the Holy Ghost, if we're going to have that most holy faith. Go back to our passage now. The Bible tells us if we're going to have the most holy faith, not only do we need to have this consistent prayer life, but the Bible says in verse 21, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Does that mean we might have a tendency to remove ourselves from the love of God? I think it does. It is work. Let's face it. It is a conscious effort to keep ourselves in the love of God. To keep ourselves where we need to be in His love so that His love is flowing through us and touching others. Which is what He wants to do. God loves the world. But He wants to love the world through us. You know, God doesn't come down and personally give us a hug. But He does through someone else. That's how God works. He uses His people to spread His love. And He wants us to keep ourselves there. Which, how do we do that? Well, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to stay in the word if we're going to stay in His love. I mean, we are commanded to have that kind of love. Go to John chapter 15 and we'll see that. But how do we keep ourselves there? We can't do it without God's word. That is what guides us. That is what teaches us about His love and how important it is that we love one another and that we love the lost. But notice in John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Notice how Jesus connects the word and obeying the word with abiding in God's love. The reason for that is Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The way we express our love to God is through obedience. And so as we spend time in His Word, God will use His Word to continue to change us and guide us, and that we might serve in His love. And so you can see that connection there. God wants us to keep ourselves in the love of God. You can't do that without this book. Because you cannot disconnect the love of God from God's commandments, from God's Word. They are inseparable. And you cannot say, I love God, while disobeying God. You can't do it. Because you are saying through your actions, I don't love God. You understand? Go to 1 John 4:11, where again we're reminded that we have a responsibility to take the amazing love that God has shown to us and to send that beyond ourselves and touch others with that same kind of love. Notice 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And so we now have a measuring stick as to how we're to love one another, as God loved us. And so as we reflect on how much God loves us and what He's done in response to that love, that helps us to know how we're to love one another, as God so loved us. So if we're going to have a most holy faith, which I hope it would be our desire to have that, number one, we must be praying in the Holy Ghost. And number two, we must be keeping ourselves in the love of God. And that only comes as we obey God's Word. Number three, look at our passage again, Jude 21. God says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He wants us to be praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God, but He wants us to be looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, what are we to be looking for? His mercy, and of course, His return to complete our eternal life. But we've been given eternal life in this present possession, but we're still in a body that's not right. And our eternal life is completed when we leave this earth and join God in heaven. And up to that point, it's done. And we're to be looking for that. But in the meantime, we're to be looking for Jesus Christ's mercy. And I don't know about you, but the longer I'm saved, the more thankful I am for the mercy of God. I mean, maybe it's not the case in your life, but God has to show a lot of patience with me. Because I make a lot of mistakes. And maybe you do too. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we serve a merciful Savior who's patient with us, who's constantly pouring out His mercy despite our mistakes. We're to be looking for that. Understanding that that's part of His nature, and that as we serve Him on this earth and as we do make mistakes, what are we to be doing? Immediately confessing them, keeping those short accounts with God, and resting in His mercy, looking for it. But at the same time, looking for His return as well, as it says there, unto eternal life. We're to be looking. Go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, where we're reminded of this. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Notice the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to be praying, loving, and looking. Here's some good words. God wants us to have these things in our lives if we're going to have that most holy faith. Number four, go to verse 22 of our passage. If we're going to stick with these action verbs, I think that's what they are. My wife can fix that later if they aren't. Are they? Yeah. I'm definitely not an English person. Praying, loving, looking. Look at verse 22. Making a difference. What a way to say it. Making a difference. God wants our most holy faith to make a difference. He left us on earth to make a difference. But where? Well, that's obvious, in the lives of others. We're here to make a difference. And I love that phrase. Our faith was given to us as a gift. Praise God. We did not earn salvation. We were given it by God. But now, in return, God says, now I want you to make a difference so that others can ask for that gift as well. Others will understand their sin problem and repent and ask for their salvation from the Lord. Making a difference. Now, Jesus started teaching this right from the beginning, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 5. He said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. In other words, make a difference. Get out there and make a difference for the cause of Christ. Go to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, where again we're reminded that's why we're here. We're here to make a difference. And you know the amazing thing is that God doesn't tell us we have to do this on our own. We're reminded of great passages like Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We're commanded to make a difference, but God doesn't just say, all right, here you go, I'm going to send you out, go make a difference. No, he says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to indwell you. I'm going to never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going to be right there beside you. Let's make a difference together. Makes it a lot easier when we have the power of the Creator of the universe on our side. Amen? Make a difference. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Now, God recognizes here that we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And he's not referring to New Zealand specifically. He's talking about the devil's nation. We're in the midst of a crooked and perverse world. Are we not? And it just keeps getting more crooked and more perverse all the time. We're in the midst of it. As Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, Lord, I pray not that thou takest them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. He never told us to go hide on a mountaintop after we get saved. He told us to make a difference. And that's what it says. Yeah, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. It's up to us to shine and to hold forth the word of life. Making a difference. Our most holy faith should make a difference in the lives of others. And so we're to be praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for His mercy, and making a difference. And then look at verse 23 of our passage. The ultimate making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. If we are going to have a most holy faith, God wants there to be others saved because of our influence. That's what He wants. He wants us to bear that kind of fruit. He wants us to multiply ourselves in this world. And I like how God said, save with fear. How many times does the world accuse Christians of using God as a fire escape, or you just got saved because you didn't want to go to hell? Every time somebody says that to me, I just say, amen. That is the motivation for getting saved. What does the word saved mean? It means to be rescued from something. We're rescued from going to hell. Jesus came to save that which was lost. Yes, we get saved to avoid going to hell. And God says, others save with fear. People need to understand that there are consequences to their sin, and they are going to go to an eternal hell without Jesus Christ. That's scary. But it's up to us to tell them that, so that they, like we, can say, I don't want to go there. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to trust Jesus to save me so that I don't have to go to hell. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. You can't get much more obvious than that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, verse 31. Talking about this word fear. You know, a few weeks ago we looked at that verse in 2 Corinthians 5, which talked about the terror of the Lord. The terror of the Lord. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, the Bible says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." It's a fearful thing. It should be. You know, when our kids are growing up and we discipline them biblically, they fear the discipline. Do they not? And that's part of what motivates them to do the right thing, especially when they're younger. They fear the consequences of disobedience, which is often painful. We should do the same as Christians, but the world needs to fear the consequences of their sin. God is a loving God, but God is also just, and He will punish sin. And the punishment for sin is hell. Eternal hell. Others save with fear, God says. So we're to be saving people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't actually save anybody. Jesus does. But we, through the gospel, can help save them with fear, pulling them out of the fire as they trust Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happens. They've been pulled out of the fire. So, most holy faith is what God wants from us. He wants us to be praying in the Holy Ghost. He wants us to be keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ. He wants us to be making a difference, and He wants us to be saving with fear. Now, the foundation of all of this, let's go to the verse 25 for my last point. And then I want to go backwards. But notice in verse 25, it says, "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen." My last point is we're to be praising the Lord. You cannot have a most holy faith if you're not lifting up a holy God. We are here to praise God and bring Him glory. And I like it how Jude took his short little book, which has so much in it, and finished it with praise. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen." We're to be praising the Lord. If we are saved, if we're to have the most holy faith, our lives should be filled with praise. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Where the Bible tells us, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." So how often are we supposed to be offering the sacrifice of praise? Continually. And what is it to be? Our lips giving thanks. We need to be thankful. We need to be praising God all the time, continually, if we're going to have a most holy faith. Praying, loving, looking, making a difference, saving, and praising. And then in these other two verses, or in verse 24, He gives us the foundation to make it all possible. Notice He says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." God says, "I want you to have most holy faith. Here's how you're going to maintain it. But I want you to be reminded that your most holy faith is secure." Amen? That's good news. Your most holy faith is safe and secure in Jesus Christ. He says, "Unto Him that is able to keep you from falling." That's good news. Because if we were weak enough to fall, I guarantee you the devil could trick us into doing it. But He is the one that keeps us from falling. He's the one that has preserved us in Jesus Christ. Which, by the way, Jude says up at the beginning of the book. What verse is that? Look up, I think it's at verse 2 or 3. Verse 1. At the end of the verse, he says, "Preserved in Jesus Christ." That's our faith. We are preserved in Jesus. We are safe. It's God that keeps us from falling. We're told in 2 Peter 1:5, we are kept by the power of God. Didn't Paul say in 2 Timothy 1:10, I know whom I believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day? We sing that song. God keeps us from falling. God preserves us in Jesus Christ. And we have that foundation to stand upon. Yes, God wants us to keep have our most holy faith. And here's how we do it. We looked at these things that we need to have in our lives. But what he tells us here is, you're safe. I'm going to help you. You're coming to heaven no matter what. So go make a difference. But don't worry that you're going to lose your salvation. Don't worry that I'm going to change my mind and send you to hell. It doesn't work like that with the Lord. We're safe. And he says, verse 24, to present you faultless. So, isn't it interesting that it looks like in the Bible, we don't present ourselves, but he presents us. Now, we often picture it going a different way, but he presents us, and notice how he presents us, faultless. Praise God. We are justified through Jesus Christ. We are made righteous in him. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Almighty God, we will be faultless. Isn't that just amazing? As often as we fail the Lord, that we're going to stand before him faultless. That is our most holy faith. And I'm sure that it's your desire, it's mine, that we would have that kind of faith. That we would be praying in the Holy Ghost. That we would be keeping ourselves in the love of God. We would be looking for his mercy, making a difference, saving others with fear, and praising the Lord as we go. Your most holy faith. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It is so beautiful and powerful.